Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Hey, I've got the campaign brief ready, built from last quarter's data and the competitive landscape.
Approved. Oh, agents, where would we be without you?
Somewhere with a lot more tabs open.
Create your first Monday agent in minutes at monday.com.
Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game. You can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. And, of course, we are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heat, and Cooling and Electrical Studios. The Titans are conducting general manager interviews this weekend. They interviewed Monty Austinfort, Ryan Cowden, both of their in-house candidates yesterday, and they will continue to interview candidates throughout the weekend. Ian Cunningham from the Bears. Bears assistant GM, it will be interviewed today as well. But I want to get into this because the Titans have some options with the team and how they would like to proceed. Fired the offensive coordinator, Todd Downing. Of course, they'll conduct offensive coordinator interviews. But what is the Titans' offensive philosophy going to be going into 2023? Do you move on from Ryan Tannehill? Do you move on from Derrick Henry and you completely overhaul the offense? Or do you run it back, use your resources within the draft, and build up the holes that currently exist? I mean, there are very obvious glaring holes on the offensive line. You need to find a left tackle of the future. There are very obvious holes at the wide receiver position. Treylon Burks, your first-round pick, he's on and off the field this past year. He didn't look like a wide receiver one. Looked promising, but you need more weapons in the passing game. So what do you do? Bob Shoup was on Stillman & Company yesterday and talked about what he would do if he was part of this organization.
You win the division, and you have a home playoff game, and you lose to the Baltimore Ravens. That's the COVID year. You win the division, you're the number one seed, you lose a home playoff game to the Bengals. And then you don't make the playoffs. That's a trend. I mean, 1 year, okay, fluky. 2 years, but 3 years now without a playoff victory, that's where we are now as an organization. You know, the questions they're going to have to ask is Ryan Tannehill a winning playoff quarterback?
The answer to that is no.
Right. That is correct. And I think this is a quarterback-driven league, no matter how we want to look at it. And this team isn't structured that way right now either. I will say that. I mean, it's a flawed group on the offensive side of the ball, because if you're going to be Derrick Henry-centric, you know, then to me, you better have a big-time offensive line. And right now, we don't have that. You know, when I look at the teams that are winning in the NFL right now, the teams that are getting to the Final Four into the Super Bowl, it's speed on the perimeter and it's elite quarterback play. Speed on the perimeter, elite quarterback play. Two things that need to be improved in this organization.
And to Bob Shoup's point, this team doesn't have the building blocks that history has proven that you need in order to win a Super Bowl. And that's an elite quarterback with elite weapons around him. And Bob Shoup makes a fair point that in 2020, you know, you host a playoff game, you win the division, you get bounced in the wild card round of the playoffs. 2021, you win the division, you're the first seed in the AFC, you get a first round bye, get bounced in the divisional round of the playoffs. This year, you don't even make the playoffs and you don't win the AFC South. Mm-hmm. So you could say, well, this team has been taking, you know, steps back. And Bob Shoup says, if you're going to be Derrick Henry-centric, you're going to have to be great around him. You're going to have to have a great offensive line in order to make holes for him. But I would say in 2020, they did a pretty darn good job of that within the same system. So I understand Bob Shoup's point. Mm-hmm. I do. TD had a different way of thinking.
How would you approach the offensive coordinator search if you're the Titans?
Well, I think you have to approach it from a perspective of how can someone come in and work with what you have right now. So obviously it's going to be someone that, you know, is capable of putting together some solid running plays and things like that to evolve it around Derrick Henry, but you also want that play action aspect. So those are the things that I would look for. Obviously look for explosiveness out of the offense, because that's something that they need. And primarily it's just play design. You know, what have they done in the past? I think that's why it's important to bring in somebody that has already gotten the OC moniker on their resume, you know, so that way you could look at what they did before and look at the play design, because that's important for this team, because right now they lack, you know, a lot of playmakers.
So Bob Shoup saying you go in a different direction. TD saying find an offensive coordinator that can work with what you have and you run it back. And the problem with this team wasn't necessarily, you know, I'm just kind of summarizing what TD said, mm-hmm. it's with the play calling and the play design rather than the personnel. Who do you think is right?
I think.
And there's no right or wrong.
Yeah, I think both can be right. But I think both can also be combined and get what you need to get, or get where you need to get as an organization. You can still go out and get your offensive coordinator based upon the roster that you have now and him saying, how can I work with this roster? But ultimately, what is your offensive coordinator going to want? He's going to want a franchise quarterback, because ultimately and eventually he's going to get fired. Why? Because he doesn't have that quarterback. Because Ryan is not getting any younger. He's getting older. So to me, you can still go out and get your coordinator, still keep Ryan Tannehill, but draft your number one quarterback, your quarterback for the future. Because whoever comes in here, Caroline, offensive coordinator-wise, they're going to look at this roster and they're going to say, well, yeah, I can work with it, but, man, I do need a quarterback. Because in his mind, he knows eventually if you don't have a quarterback in this league, your job only lasts as long as your veteran quarterback is playing well. The minute he stops playing well, or the minute this offense starts to falter, and there's no you can't turn around and say, well, that's our hope right there. That quarterback is our hope. So let's not panic here. Yeah, we may be bad right now, but our hope is right behind me. I can coach him every day. I can see the progress every day. So I know eventually he's going to be in a starting role and we're going to get better as a team. If you don't have that guy, you can't turn around and look and say, that's my future. You're still looking for your future. So to me, you can go out and get your offensive coordinator and still draft your quarterback this year, because no offensive coordinator wants to come into a job not having that quarterback, whether it be a veteran guy that is playing well or having that quarterback that you know is your future. You know, it's the worst thing the Titans can do is to go get an offensive coordinator without any plan for the future at your quarterback position. If you're just looking at Ryan Tannehill and Joshua Dobbs and say, oh, this is our future, well, your future is very bleak. It really is. You're basically saying, okay, I'm good with being a 500 team or not making the playoffs, you know, possibly making the playoffs. But
does it have to be the future?
Yes.
Beyond 2023?
It has. You have to, as an organization, you have to look at, because again, Ryan isn't 31 or 32. Ryan's older. He's closer to retirement than not. So you got to be looking to the future. You got to be looking as offensive coordinator like, man, you know, do we have our quarterback in the house? The guy that I know can move us forward. Just say, you know, next year, you know, the Titans don't have their quarterback. Something happens to Ryan Tannehill, or Ryan Tannehill just not playing well. He's playing bad. You can't turn around and hand the ball to your future, because you have no future unless you're saying Joshua Dobbs is your future or Malik Willis is your future.
No, I don't think the quarterback of 2025 is in this organization. And
that's
now
what I'm saying. So
then you could argue then if Ryan Tannehill plays poorly or gets injured, then this team probably has a pretty solid pick in the 2024 draft and can draft their quarterback of the future.
They will be in the same situation they're in this year. They will be, because this team is not – they're not that bad where they're going to – get a top five pick. I just don't think they are. I believe that Mike Vrabel can do enough to get this team to an average team. But if you don't have that guy, if you don't have that guy you can turn around to and say, this is our future, you're in trouble. In Baltimore, when we had Steve McNair, unfortunately, he chose to retire the year they drafted. And I think part of the reason they drafted Joe Flacco was because in their mind they knew if it's not this year that he's going to retire, it's going to be next year.
So go ahead and
But they had planned exactly. We were not a horrible team, but you know what they said? They said, "Listen, even if Steve doesn't retire, we want to be able to turn around no matter how the season is going. We want to be able to turn around and say, that's our future. We're all right. We'll be fine. We knew this would probably happen. He'd get injured, or we're not playing as well, or we didn't get to the Super Bowl, but we have our future right behind us. We don't have to panic and say, oh, man, it's offseason. We got to find a way to get our future quarterback. No, we already have him. And what happened? He won him a Super Bowl. That's where I want the Titans to be. I want the Titans to be able to turn around and say, there's our future. Regardless of what Ryan Tannehill is doing, he could be playing great. It doesn't matter. But we can always turn around and say, that's our future right behind us. We're good.
And I am under the impression, and if I'm general manager of the Titans, I would run it back. Because mm-hmm. my question to you would be, you draft your quarterback of the future. Mm-hmm. Who's protecting your quarterback of the future? Who's your quarterback of the future throwing to? Mm-hmm. And you can go either way. You can go ahead and sell out and get your quarterback of the future and build around him like the Bengals did. Mm-hmm. Drafted Joe Burrow, and then they drafted him weapons, and then they acquired offensive linemen in free agency to protect that quarterback. But let's say the Titans do – it would take 2023 first, 2024 first, and then seconds and a fourth in 2024 to trade up at bare minimum mm-hmm. to trade up into the first round – and to get the first overall pick in the 2023 draft. Mm-hmm. So now you got no picks, and you got no offensive linemen, and you have one wide receiver in his second year who wasn't able to stay on the field in his first year.
Mm-hmm.
So are you going to be able to set up for the future totally? Are you going to be able to comfortably set up for the future if you don't have those pieces around that quarterback because you sold out to get him?
I think you still can sell out to get your quarterback. Now, You may say, you know, that's just too rich for my blood, mm-hmm. you know, moving up to the number one spot, you know, taking over for the Bears. You say, that's just too rich for my blood. All right. Well, who's picking fourth? Who's picking fifth? Did I evaluate? Okay, say if Bryce Young goes first. I don't know who's going to go first, but say Bryce Young goes first because yeah. I love Bryce Young. So it's between now, Will Levitt,
CJ Stroud,
maybe another quarterback that potentially are Hendon Hooker somewhere in there, but I don't think you draft him that high considering, you know, the injury and everything else. You don't want to put that on your plate. So maybe there's three other quarterbacks. Now you got to say, well, we tried to go up to number one, we couldn't. What is it going to take for us to at least get in the top five or that number five pick? Because everybody in the top five doesn't need a quarterback. So it may not take as much to move to five or six than it would have to move for one to one. It's going to take a lot to move to one. So if you move to four or five, will it take all of those picks to then move up to that spot? I'm thinking it wouldn't. So if it doesn't, then I still have some leeway to then get the players, slowly build this roster the way I need to. You know, I can go get my left tackle in free agency or my tackle in free agency because there are two or three good tackles out there that would be a definite upgrade to our left tackle and then work around that. There's ways of doing this. It's either all or nothing. I think you can get your quarterback and still be competitive and still build your team the way you want to build it.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. I see your phones lining up, and we've been neglecting your phones, so we'll get right into those coming up next. It's Caroline Willie DeMace, 1025-1063 The Game.
Yeah, I think they are going to run it back with those guys. And, I mean, if I'm Mike Vrabel, that's what I'm doing for sure, because I don't want that rebuild, because what happens with a rebuild, especially you get a new GM in there and you rebuild, you're likely going to be gone and somebody else is going to, you know, reap the benefits of the, you know, draft capital that you get from having a losing season. You know what I mean? So I think Tannehill and Henry are going to be back at least one more year.
There you go. That was Teron Davenport on Robbie and Rex Road this morning. He said, run it back with Tannehill and Henry. D. Mace says, go get your quarterback for the future. We shall see. Into your phones. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you have a thought. Joey from Gallatin texts in and asks, is Hendon Hooker even on the Titans' radar? With his injury at the end of the year, he may fall lower than top 10. Does he fit the system of the future? First of all, I don't think... I feel pretty certain that Hendon Hooker would not have gone in the top 10, even if he hadn't torn his ACL. You know, in the middle of the season, before he got injured, he was projected as like a fringe late first round pick, maybe early to mid second round pick. And I think that's probably where he is a second-ish round quarterback. And that's not a knock on Hendon Hooker. I think it's just the reality that quarterbacks like CJ Stroud and Bryce Young have more of a pro upside, whereas maybe some people may view Hendon Hooker more as a production of the system rather than just talent.
Exactly. I mean, I like Hendon Hooker. I think he was perfect for that system that Josh Heupel had.
He had the arm. He has the mobility. He's smart.
So, but you, if you're going to draft a guy like that, one, you got to make sure, you know, that his knee is stable enough or will be stable enough that he can be your quarterback, you know, for 10 plus years. You don't want to have to, you know, deal with this knee situation again. Even though, I mean, he can have an injury to his other knee. It just doesn't matter. That's just the way the game goes. But then you got to wonder, does our offense fit what he can do, his skill set? Yes, I saw what he did at Tennessee, but that offense was more of a wide open offense. We don't run a wide open offense here.
It's not really a pro style offense.
And I'm pretty sure he can, but how long will it take him to learn the style of play that we're accustomed to seeing? So not to rule him out any, but not that high. I don't want to get away from it, and I want to make this very clear. I'm not saying move on from Ryan Tannehill. I'm saying you got to have it's sort of like this contingency plan. What is our plan for the future? How do we look? Because Ryan Tannehill, he's not going to be our quarterback forever.
Kind of like the 49ers blueprint. Absolutely. They stuck with Jimmy G, but they still drafted Trey Lance.
They still went and got their quarterback, Green Bay. They knew that, Aaron Rodgers could play 2-3 more years, but they wanted to at least have their quarterback in-house, that while Aaron is still on the field, we can groom this guy. We can teach him. He can learn from Aaron. He can see the things that we're trying to do.
And now I think they want to get rid of that guy.
Exactly. They may want to get rid of him now. But that's where you want to be as a franchise, because, again, the Titans are not at – this is not 5 years ago when Ryan Tannehill got here. This is a Ryan Tannehill that is closer to retirement than not. So you can keep Ryan Tannehill, potentially keep Derrick Henry, but still go out and get your quarterback of the future. Because if you don't do it and you run this theme back status quo, you're not going to be in a position, unless whatever moves you made during this past offseason just don't work. And if that's the case, then it doesn't matter. All y'all gone, except probably the GM, because he's new. So to me, if I'm the head coach, this is what I want. Okay, GM, I want to have the ability to still win, but also put myself in a position to have my future quarterback. Because whether it's getting fired next year or getting fired 3 years from now, if you don't have your quarterback, you're still going to get fired somewhere in here, you know, whether it's next year or the year after that. You got to have your quarterback, and at least to give yourself an opportunity to keep your job. And I know everybody's saying, well, if they go through a rebuild, you know, and if they lose, then he's just giving up. Not necessarily. If Amy sees that this team is moving forward, even if they're losing, but if she sees that, okay, they made the right moves. We got our quarterback. They made the right moves. We may not be winning today, but tomorrow we may be winning. So I'm going to keep my head coach because I see what he's able to do with these young players. He's getting them to play. He's getting them to buy in. He's getting them to go out there and give it everything that they have. So I'm going to give him a couple years and see where this go. It ain't an automatic, oh, you don't, you know, you get rid of everybody. You bring in your quarterback, you're not winning, they're going to fire you the next year. It doesn't work that way. If you are showing progress with the team, then more than likely you're going to get kept as a head coach, especially somebody like Mike Vrabel. We've seen what he was able to do when he got here along with John Robinson. You don't want to give him the opportunity to try to do that again, because eventually it's going to come. Whether it's this year, that's what people don't understand. Eventually that day is going to come.
They're
going
to need to find their quarterback
exactly.
At some point.
Whether it's this year, upcoming, or is it next? Is it either it's 2023 or it's 2024? So I would rather get my quarterback now and at least have an opportunity, a chance to be able to keep my job rather than running it back with everybody and then end up losing my job because my team is too old and we're too beat up eventually to beat the teams that are in our division, let alone the conference.
And it's not like they would, going into 2023, if they did decide to run it back with Dan Allen Henry, that it would be, you know, the exact same roster as mm-hmm. is and not bring in new pieces or at least upgrade at certain positions. Mm-hmm. They would get younger and ideally would get healthier in certain areas where they weren't young or weren't healthy. Offensive line, mm-hmm. You add the pass catching core in there as well. So they would upgrade elsewhere. It just wouldn't be at that quarterback position. It would be more so the idea of we'll build up around the quarterback, mm-hmm. try and still be as competitive as we can with Tannehill and Henry, mm-hmm. hope that we get back to more of the 2020 kind of offense with a new play caller. And then when the day comes, probably 2024, when the Titans do need a new quarterback, when they do decide to move on from Ryan Tannehill, then at least that new quarterback has pieces around him.
But you're still going to end up getting fired because you're going to have to do something. This young guy, and he's going to come in, or whoever it is, he's going to come in, and he's not – even Joe Burrow wasn't Joe Burrow that first year. He still had his struggles.
Yeah,
there's still with things. He got injured too, but he still had his struggles. It wasn't until really the second half of the second year that things started to really click for him and that team. And then we saw, consequently, we saw what happened, mm-hmm. them going to the Super Bowl and see what they are now. So my thing is, why continue to kick this can down the street? It doesn't make sense to me. Like, I want to get fired. If I get fired, at least I want to say I have my franchise quarterback. We were trying to work with him. We had a young team. So, you know, there was only so much that I can do. This is a young team. We won, but not at a clip that the owner wanted. So I got fired. But I'm able to go get a job somewhere else because they seen what I did with the young quarterback in that young team. Maybe we didn't, you know, win a playoff game. Maybe we just got to the playoffs. Maybe we just missed the playoffs. But they saw what I did with that young team and that young quarterback. So I'm going to get a job somewhere else. Mm-hmm. So why keep pushing?
But if,
quick kicking a can down the road, we got to get our quarterback.
If the Titans did bring in a quarterback uh-huh. in 2024 with pieces that they picked up hypothetically, like let's say a left tackle and a wide receiver in the draft this year, plus other things, of course. So they have pieces around the quarterback. They pick up the quarterback in 2024, however it might be. And they're not very good because the quarterback is a rookie and is very green and needs to adjust to the NFL. We saw it. Trevor Lawrence, mm-hmm. Joe Burrow, and then in year two takes a step forward. Well, I think that Amy Adams Strunk would be willing to give the grace to Mike Vrabel and this coaching staff to say, hey, this was a rookie quarterback, but we're excited about what we can see in the future. I think once you get to two, three multiple years mm-hmm. of a new quarterback, of a quarterback that you drafted to be your future, and it's still not coming to fruition, that's when people lose their jobs.
And you're absolutely right. She gave him the time, along with John, to build this roster mm-hmm. when they got here.
Yeah.
And she understood what was going on. She understood that this roster wasn't as good, so they had to build it up. She gave him the grace and the leeway to do it. Now, she ultimately ended up firing John Robinson, but she kept her head coach. Why do we think she won't do that again if she knows she has a quarterback? And if Mike Vrabel is teaching these young men and they see the progress in them, well, why would you then fire your coach if you are seeing the progress, even with the young quarterback?
Right.
Why then would you fire your coach? Everybody just assumed that, or if you go get a new quarterback, we're rebuilding it. You're going to end up getting fired a year later. No, that's not the case all the time.
Which is why I think it's important to continue to go back to why Amy Adams Strunk did decide mm-hmm. to fire John Robinson. Because if it was a move that she just completely did on her own, then nobody's job is safe. Mm-hmm. Then Mike Vrabel's job isn't safe. Right back into your phones coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 106.3 The Game. And I see one texter texting into the text line. This person probably isn't the only one with this thought, but I kind of want to squash it right where it is. We'll get into that coming up next. 1025, 106.3 The Game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 106.3 The Game. Right back into your phones talking about the Titans, where they go from here, the general manager search. We'll get your thoughts on all of that. Jim is up next on the quarterback draft. What's up, Jim?
Hey, listen, great show. D-Mace, listen, man, I hear what you're saying about the quarterback situation and philosophically probably agree, but here's the big gotcha in my mind. I mean, the success rate of quarterbacks drafted in the top, say, 10, 12 picks over the last 20 years, it's about 1 out of 3. And if you look even at the Titans, I mean, the Vince Young class, there was, what, Matt Leinart? Didn't make it. Jay Cutler was the only one out of that group. If you look back when we drafted Lockard, the other quarterbacks, Gabbert, Ponder, didn't make it. Jameis Winston, Marcus. I mean, none of those guys have made it as the franchise. I think it's one of those things where if you're ultra confident and there's that Peyton Manning versus the Ron Leaf type thing that you can go, but I'm just saying it's not, I mean, if you feel like there is a person in this class that you want to roll the dice and your job on, I hear you, but I think there are a lot of classes that it turns out there's not really a franchise quarterback, or maybe there's 1 out of 3. That's, I think, what if you look back at the metrics, that's about what it looks like as how successful they usually are.
Thank you, Jim.
Appreciate it. I mean, yes, that, you know, finding a quarterback in this league, a franchise, true franchise quarterback, yes, it's sometimes, it's majority of times, it's a roll of the dice, you know. A lot of things have to, you know, work out perfectly in your favor to find that quarterback for the next 15 years. Because in every draft, you know, there's not a Peyton Manning. Mm-hmm. In every draft, you know, there's not a John Elway.
Sometimes the first pick in the draft is Baker Mayfield.
Exactly.
Sometimes it's Joe Burrow. Sometimes it's just luck.
Exactly. It's a roll of the dice. But I don't think you can, allow that to dictate how you proceed with your team. If you believe in your GM, if you believe in your scouting department, you feel they would do the best job necessary to find that quarterback. All these players, you don't know what you're getting. You don't, you know. You can draft a guy in the first round. He doesn't have to be a quarterback, and it doesn't work out.
Caleb Farley.
Absolutely. You can draft a guy in the fifth or sixth round or the fourth round. Chigakonkwo, that works out. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of it is, you know, it's a roll of the dice. You know, sometimes, you know, first rounders, yeah, there is a higher probability at times, you know, based upon what they did in college and how they dominated in college, that they will then get in the pros and do some of the same things. You know, that happens and it's out there. But you can't be scared of the numbers. Can't be scared that much that you shy away from trying to move up in the draft to potentially get who you believe is your future franchise quarterback. If that was the case, then I mean, teams would be trading out of that first pick. Like, I don't want this first pick because, you know, number says 1 out of 3 or 1 out of 4, whatever it is, turns out to be, you know, good. Mm-hmm. The rest of them turns out to be bad or okay. If that is indeed the case, then, you know, still go up, try to get your quarterback, at least try. If it doesn't work out that way, meaning you couldn't move up far enough to get who you wanted, then at least you're in a position now where you can get the best left tackle or the best guard or the best receiver or the best secondary guy. You're in a position to get that guy now. You weren't able. It was sort of like the shoot for the stars and reach the moon, or shoot for the moon and reach the stars, and, you know,
something like that.
I think it's shoot for the moon and reach the stars.
You'll get something.
If you're
else,
aiming for
good.
Something high, uh-huh. You may not get that, but you may get close to it. You know, so I wouldn't allow that to scare me away from trying to get my quarterback. But I truly believe in this class, I think Bryce Young is the guy, and I think the other two, Will Levis and Stroud, are good players that can potentially be franchise quarterback. Because even if you go out and get your franchise quarterback and he turns out to be that guy, you still got to surround him with talent. You know, if you don't surround, should be the perfect example. Trevor Lawrence should be the perfect example for everybody. Franchise quarterback, elite quarterback. What happens his first year was up? It was a disaster. And a lot of it wasn't because of him. It was because of what they did around him and the head coach.
And that coach was a total
And then the minute they changed the head coach and got some people in place, what does he look like? He looks like that guy. He is him, as the young kids say. You know, he is him. The Titans could be the same way. As long as you surround your franchise quarterback with players, then he's going to be who you thought he was, Denny Green.
And to the caller's point, you know, what if the franchise quarterback isn't in this draft?
Mm-hmm.
You don't draft him. Then you don't go to the great lengths to go get them. To your point, D-Mace, you have to have the trust in your GM and your scouting department. If you think he really is that guy, then you get him. If you don't, then you don't, and you find something else. Back into your phones. Wes is up next on Tannehill. What's up, Wes?
Yeah, I got a question. I hear a lot of talk about whether we should keep Tannehill or whether you should try to draft a quarterback and build from that. I don't understand why you can't do both. Is there not a quarterback in the draft right now that's relatively close to the same kind of play as Tannehill that you can pick up and kind of mold into what you want for the future? I don't understand.
Yeah, thanks for your call,
Wes.
I think D-Mace is making that exact same point earlier.
Yeah, like you can keep Ryan Tannehill. I'm not advocating again. I would love to have Ryan Tannehill back for another year, but I would love to go get my future quarterback as well. Yeah. We can do both at the same time.
That's exactly what the 49ers did.
Mm-hmm.
They traded 3 first-round picks to move up in the first round of the draft. They drafted Trey Lance. They held on to Jimmy Garoppolo. They just knew that Jimmy Garoppolo was not going to be their answer at the quarterback position for the future. So even though Trey Lance wasn't their starting quarterback that year, they could bring him in, develop him, and then this year was hopefully going to be the year. Then, of course, he got injured.
Now, neither one of them are quarterbacks, and it's Purdy.
Now it's Brock Purdy o'clock. I do want to get to this, though, because we had a text in the text line, and I do think that there might be people who feel this way, and I understand that this is a very common thought process for fans in sports. This texter texts in and says, I am rooting for the Jags hard this weekend. If they make a run in the playoffs, I'll feel so much better about the Titans getting swept by them and missing the playoffs. I think this is a really common thought process of, oh, my team got beat by a really good team, but that team went on to win a championship. So that's okay. It justifies losing. I mean, Auburn fans, LSU fans, Ole Miss fans talk about it every year. Well, we got beat by Alabama, but Alabama just went on to win the national championship. That's not the case here. I think that is such a lame excuse for a team that completely just hooped away their opportunity at the playoffs. It's not about the Jags. The Jags winning the division and sweeping the Titans, I don't think it had anything to do with the Jags, or very little to do with the Jags, and I think it had so much to do with the Tennessee Titans. I think it had everything to do with the fact that they had a pretty awful play caller, that they fired their general manager in the middle of the season, and then they played the Jags the following weekend and looked so distracted and looked so unenthusiastic. I think it had everything to do with the injuries. I think that it had so much to do with the Titans having luck on the wrong side rather than the Jags just being some, you know, crazy talented team that's, you know, ready to take on the, you know, an AFC championship. Will they? I don't know. I doubt it. I'm not putting my money on it. But even if they do, I don't think that should justify or excuse this total crashing and burning of a season that the Titans had.
Yeah. I mean, if because we get, you know, we've gotten these calls before, we've gotten these texts before. Well, you know, if such and such make it, at least, you know, that was the team that we lost to. No, I don't want to hear that. You know, I'm not rooting for Jacksonville because it makes me feel better that we lost to them. No, I'm not doing that.
You can feel however you want, but that's so exactly. Not justified.
But players are not feeling that way. And, you know, you can feel how you want it. If that makes you feel better, then great. But, I mean, living in that world is not cool. It's not good. I mean, you know, I would have rather beaten Jacksonville and been in a playoff than lose to them and then hope that they win. That's like me, you know, that's like if Michigan beat Michigan State as they did and then rooting for them and say, oh, I hope they win. No, I don't want them to win.
I want bad things for
exactly.
you.
Exactly. I want them to lose, too.
As Jared would say, that's loser talk. Coming up next, we've got a full slate of the wild card weekend. We'll pick those games coming up next. It's Caroline Billy D-Mace. And also, be caller 3 now, and you will win a pair of tickets to a really great show. And you're going to want to know exactly what the show is because it's a really great show. If you are caller 3 now, you'll win a pair of tickets to see Blackberry Smoke at the Ryman Auditorium on Thursday, February 9th. 1025, 106 through the game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 106 3 the game. We are heading into Wild Card Weekend. So let's pick the games of the weekend.
All right. Well, I did this morning, so now I get to do it twice.
Let's run it back.
But, go. And Derek, let's start off with you, okay? Mm-hmm. Because this is a really familiar team for you. In the AFC, the Ravens at the Bengals, Baltimore, they are 9.5-point dogs. Who you got?
Oh, wow. No Lamar Jackson. Is Huntley playing? Is he their quarterback?
Yep.
Yep.
Oh, man. They made it difficult for Cincinnati. The last outing, even without Lamar Jackson and some other players they didn't have. I don't know how the injury situation up beside Lamar Jackson is moving forward. But, man, oh, man, as much as I want to pick Baltimore, I just built – I mean, Cincinnati is at home. I'm going with Cincinnati, but I don't think it – I couldn't take the point. Well, I'm going with Cincinnati, but I take the points. You know, I think they win – but they don't win by 9. Is that the point line?
9.5.
9.5. I think they win, but not by 9.5.
Yeah, 9.5 is a huge spread. And mm-hmm. in the NFL, anything beyond like 6.5, 7, 7.5 mm-hmm. makes me really nervous. But this is Joe freaking Burrow in the playoffs at home against a Tyler Huntley-led team. And look, the Ravens aren't a bad team, but this is Joe freaking Burrow. 9.5 is a lot. I'm going to lay the 9.5. I think the Bengals are able to roll in this game, and they will be all speed ahead going into the divisional round of the playoffs. Give me the Bengals minus 9.5.
Right, and I got Big Joe too, but his wide receivers have to step it up this week. Mm. So let's stick in the AFC. We got Chargers at the Jags. We've been waiting for this one after the big old Titans loss. Just pooped on our season, obviously. But Jacksonville, they're 2.5-point dogs. Who do you guys got?
Give me Jacksonville. I think they're at home. I think they're rolling on a high. They sort of reminds me of last year's Bengals team. Not to say that they're going to make it to the Super Bowl, but I think the Bengals went into the playoffs with some confidence. I think Jacksonville's on that same sort of level. They're going to the playoffs with some confidence. I think it takes them past the first round. Beyond that, I don't know. So I'm picking Jacksonville.
This is tough because if you would have asked me this yesterday, I would have said Chargers minus 2.5 easily. Mike Williams is out for the next 2 to 3 weeks. He has a back fracture, and he is a big part of that offense. But I'm still going to take the Chargers minus 2.5. I know that Jacksonville has been on this heater in the late end half of the season. I know that everyone thinks that Trevor Lawrence is going to be, you know, the next gift to football. I'm just not quite there yet. This is a fine Jags team. I don't think this is a great Jags team. Give me the Chargers to cover the 2.5. I think it'll be like a field goal to a touchdown difference.
I think Mike's mom probably stepped on a crack to break his back.
Ah.
So that ain't going to go over so well.
That's a good one, Nick.
But let's head over to Buffalo. I know that the Dolphins have a tough matchup with the grand old Skylar Thompson leading the way for them. Buffalo is 13-point favorites. I think it's pretty obvious, but who do you guys got?
I'm taking Buffalo, but not the point. You know, Josh Allen, the reason why to me, Josh Allen isn't in the class of Mahomes, and Brady at this point, and I know Brady has slipped, but just say Mahomes. The reason why is because of the mistakes he makes. Like he makes these throws after like 6 or 7 years in the league. You thinking like, why are you making that throw at that time? And it's an interception. He's done that more times than not. I'm picking him to win, but I'm not picking a point.
again, I go back to, I don't like a big spread like that in the NFL. I mean, the NFL is constructed for every single game to be close, especially in the playoffs. But I look at a Miami team with no Tua, and this is a Buffalo team that has been so close, or at least has looked like a Super Bowl caliber team for the past, you know, 3 years. And every single year, they get knocked in either the divisional round of the playoffs. They get knocked in the AFC Championship against Kansas City last year. I think this Bills team is so, so hungry to finally realize their potential. They've been Super Bowl favorites all season long. I think Buffalo is going to be able to win big because of what they're playing for. And also because I just don't think Miami without Tua is going to be that great. But also, you know, Skylar Huntley has
Skylar.
Not Tyler Huntley. He's good. He has good pass catchers, at least.
But who? Really? Like, who? Like, that's what I said this morning. Who is that guy? But anyway, so now we have Christian McCaffrey and Brock Purdy going up against Kenneth Walker III and Geno Smith. Mm-hmm. Seattle is 9.5-point dogs. I think it's closer than that, but what do you guys think?
Well, I'm not even going on the offensive side of the ball. That 49ers defense is just lights out, man. They're good. And they got, you know, they can affect you on every level. And I just think that's going to be too much for Seattle. Yes, Geno has been playing well. Yes, Kenneth Walker III, Michigan State guy, I'm rooting for him hard.
Go green.
Go white. But I just think San Francisco's defense will be too much for Seattle. So I'm going with San Fran.
Yeah, that's a big spread. And, you know, every time I bet against Brock Purdy, every time I see, you know, what's at hand, and I'm like, no, like, Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant, you know, seventh-round pick, third-string quarterback. Like, no, he's not going to be able to overcome this. But I think it's less about Brock Purdy and, to your point, D-Mace, about every single other piece around him. That 49ers team is so stacked on both sides of the ball. This is tough. I'll take Seattle to cover. Ooh, I think it's the difference of like a touchdown. As much as I'm just bragging on this 49ers team, I think Geno Smith has been able to do, you know, pretty impressive things in Seattle. I still think 49ers win. I think it's the difference of a touchdown, so I'll take them to cover.
Could you imagine Mr. Irrelevant being Super Bowl MVP this year? That is crazy to me.
Truly worst to first. Hey. Take that, Tom
crazy.
Brady.
Listen, it would be a great story. Let's just put it that way.
Yes, a great story, Derek.
Exactly.
But anyway, so now we roll over to the G-Men, as Derek has been putting it all season, and they're going up against the Vikings, and the Giants are 3-point dogs. Who do you guys got?
Oh, boy. I'm a Kirk Cousins fan. I know many are saying, well, he's going to be the demise of the Vikings. And maybe so, but not this week. Not this week. As much as I like the G-Men, I'm going with Kirk Cousins and the Minnesota Vikings. I think Justin Jefferson is going to have a field day this weekend. So I'm going with Kirk Cousins.
I'm going to take the Vikings, too. Because this game was interesting. They played just a few weeks ago, and the game was really interesting. It came down to a field goal. But to your point, I mean, the Vikings just have way too much talent on that side of the ball. I mean, when you give me Justin Jefferson, give me Adam Thielen over the Giants. I think the Giants are really carried and propelled by what they did in the beginning half of the season and have kind of flattened out and kind of averaged the mean there in the second half of the season.
Right. All right, last pick here. I know where Derek and I stand on this because we've been heckling Chase all year. But look, we got Cowboys at Bucks. Tom Brady's never lost to the Cowboys. He is currently 6-0, I believe. And Dallas is only a 12.5-point favorite. Who do you guys got down there in Tampa?
Wow. As much as I want to pick Tom Brady, because he's just Tom Brady, and you just never know. Mike Evans can have another 200-yard game. That's the difference between them winning the game and not winning the game. But the Cowboys can do cowboy things, as they do all the time. So I'm going with, how about those Cowboys? Let's go with them.
I will never bet against Tom Brady. I'm too smart to do that. I'm taking the Bucks. That's going to do it for us today. Everyone have a great weekend. Stillman & Company's up next. We'll be back Monday at 11 a.m.
Peace.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.